Can you believe that we are at the end of another year? It is unbelievable how fast time can go. I've told you this story before, but my dad told me when I was young. He said, you know, time moves faster as you get older. And in all the wisdom that I had at that young age, I said, Dad, it's all relative, right? Time moves the exact same speed all the time. It doesn't get any faster. It doesn't get any slower. It remains the same. And he said, you will find out, right? And so I have found out. It feels like we were just standing together last year celebrating 2016. And here we are, fast forward 365 days later. Here we are again celebrating the end of 2017 together. Can I just say, I'll go on record as saying this, it's really good that we're still here celebrating together, right? I'm really glad that you're here. I hope you're glad that I'm here. I'm glad that we're here together because I think God has some great things in store for us in 2018 together that's really gonna lead us into a brand new season in our church life. And I want to share a little bit of that with you today. We note that in Scripture, that Jesus makes sure that we know how to pray. In fact, he tells us how to pray in Matthew 6. He says in verses 9 and 10, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So he says, when you pray, I want you to pray that my will be done there, right? It's being done in heaven, but it's not fully being done on earth, and it's my will for it to be done there on earth. So for those of you that are going to speak to me and communicate with me and seek me and hear me and do what I want you to do, I want you to pray that my will be done where you are. I want to do my will through you. That's my desire. He says, that's how I want you to pray. And he goes on to explain what we should pray for, because sometimes we go, well, so does that mean I get to ask for whatever I want and whatever he tells us? He says whatever we ask for, we can have. That's not the context that you find that scripture to be spoken in. There are certain caveats to that happening, one of which would include his will being done. Like if he gives us something that we shouldn't have, that's not a good thing to give to your children, right? And we're his children. So that's not what God's speaking of. In fact, this is what he says in regards to asking. He says in Matthew 9:37-38, he's telling his disciples this. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So this is what we are to pray as a church. I've been asked this several times. Tell me, Pastor Rick, where did you get the mission statement that Wildwood follows, right? And so one of the suggestions is it must come from Matthew 28, the Great Commission, right? Go and make disciples. Actually, it wasn't there. It lines up really well with that, but that's not where we got it. Nor is it Acts 1:8, right? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll go to all these great places and speak the name of Jesus. It lines up really well with that, but that's not where we got it. We actually got it from here. We actually recognized in our study and pursuit of what God wanted to do through and in his church, right, that he wanted us to recognize the fact that we are surrounded by people who desperately need to know about Jesus Christ. They desperately need to know about Jesus Christ because there's no guarantee whether or not they'll still be here next year like we are. Right? There's no guarantee. And so there's no guarantee where they will go if they haven't heard about Jesus Christ. We have an opportunity to share that information with those that are around us. So that's our ultimate goal. Our ultimate goal is to spread the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, wherever we go, especially to those who are around us. So this has been our goal for 7.5 years now. We are leading people to become believers and passionate followers of Jesus Christ, right? And I've heard people say, you know, is it time for us to change? Is it time for us to move on? I'm going to say this to you this morning the best way that I know how, and you let the leading of God's Spirit either affirm this and confirm it in you or not. I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to do the next thing that God would have us to do. But I sort of feel like where we've come from, if we stopped and changed that mission, we would not fulfill in entirety the plan that God has for his church that is Wildwood Baptist Church, right? I don't think we've arrived yet at where he would have us to be to change it yet. And I don't think God's changed his mind about whether or not that's what he wants us to pursue. I've heard some pretty catchy statements that I thought, I like it. I think I could live with that one. I could share that one. I'd preach it on a regular basis. I got a bunch of messages that would follow that one. And as I've sought the Lord, I've just felt like, you know what? God's not finished with us in leading people to become believers and passionate followers of Jesus Christ. We haven't done a terrible job of that. We've seen hundreds of people get baptized in the last 7+ years. Hundreds. Literally, I think somewhere in the area of 400 people have been baptized here, right? Many more are saved. You know, baptism is a step of faith after you're saved. Many more have been saved that haven't been baptized, right? We've seen that. We've seen some great things happen when it comes to some growth. Do you remember several years ago where and some of you weren't here, and some of you were like, I don't remember this. I didn't even know what happened. The church went through a really, really difficult time where attendance plummeted. Like one Sunday, people showed up and a bunch of people were gone, right? Now, some of you remember that. Most of you weren't here, but it was like, where did everybody go, right? Well, we've recovered from that, and God's blessed this church. We've actually increased from average attendance in that day to now. We're a couple hundred people up on where we were at that time, right? That's the favor of God on his church, right? We haven't catapulted into mega church stratum, you know? I mean, we're not there not yet, and I don't, maybe God's not leading us there. But certainly, we're pursuing the things that God would have us to pursue as we lead people to become believers and passionate followers of Jesus Christ. And God's rewarding that in wonderful ways. So I got to tell you a quick story to lay this out for you where we got the title of today's message. When I was young, my parents would allow me to listen to two bands, the Righteous Brothers and Genesis, because they thought they were Christian. And they weren't, by the way. So I listened to their music and you know, I didn't understand all of Genesis. I really like them. I admit that to you now. Would you do me a favor? Don't go Google them and listen to their music, because there's nothing redeeming about their music. I'm just going to warn you ahead of time. But they had this one song. And while I was studying this week in preparation to share with you today some vision for next year, this song kept popping in my head. And I'm like, Lord, this isn't even a Christian song. I mean, why am I thinking this? And I think I know why, and I'm going to present that to you today. And just pray with me that it's the Lord, because I don't really want to mess up going into the new year secularly, you know? So anyway, I'm hearing this song, and they had this song called Carpet Crawlers. Again, don't Google, don't listen to it. But in this song, Carpet Crawlers, there's this resounding theme that they keep repeating. And they say this: you have to get in to get out. You have to get in to get out, right? And some of you are nodding your heads because you know Genesis, right? So, and that's neither good nor bad. But anyway, I'd never understood what that meant. I listened to it for years. You know, I was like, whatever it means. Those guys, Phil Collins, he's a nut, you know? So I'm listening to it. I think I understand how it applies to our mission right now. Here's how it applies. You have to be fully in something else to be fully out of where you've come from. You can't be in between, because you're not fully out until you're fully in, right? We have to be all in when it comes to dedicating our lives to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. All in. If you're not all in, then you're not all out. And the Israelites, they modeled this for us in their exodus out of Egypt, because they really struggled after they got out of Egypt. And God's intention was never for them just to be out of slavery and out of Egypt. God's intention and his plan was for them to be in the promised land, right? Right? It was never for them to get out. It was for them to get in. You can't get in, or you can't be out until you're in. But they were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, never fully being out, because they were never fully in the place that God was leading them to be in. That is what I do not want to see happen at Wildwood. Because we have been blessed. There was a period of time that we struggled to pay our bills, right? We literally had to say, what bills are we going to pay and what ones are we not going to pay, and who are we going to call and tell them that we can't pay it this week and then we'll pay it next week? And I made some of those phone calls. So I know that to be true, right? People have said, well, we were never that bad. No, we were. We were struggling that bad at that time. We had agreed and made commitments to things we weren't able to keep at that time on the schedule that they had. pattern of the bills coming in. And so we literally had to say, all right, we're going to pay this and we're going to pay this. We're going to call them and say, we'll pay it next week. We did that by faith, right? We're not in that place anymore. In fact, we pay every bill on time, and sometimes we pay early, and sometimes we pay extra. Right now, we've been that way for a little while now. That is all by the grace of God, right? The challenge with that is it would be easy for us to sit back and say, well, we're in a good place, right? No more worries anymore. We're able to pay all our bills. This is where God wants us to arrive at. I'm telling you this just as sure as the nose is on my face right now. That is not the way that God is leading. We're not to rest where we are. Be thankful. Be grateful for where we are. Absolutely. Every day we should give thanks to God for what he brought us out of. But I don't believe we're where he would have us to be. Not yet. Not yet. We're close. Here's what I'm saying to you this morning. I think we are right before the land that God has promised. I think we're standing right before the promises that he has made to this church well before the time that I came here. To many of you who are here today who have stayed the course and persevered in times that you thought, I don't see it happening, right? We're heading in the wrong direction and things aren't going the way that they should be going. And, you know, question whether or not you're to remain here or go somewhere else where all those exciting things seem to be happening. You've persevered. And I'm saying especially to you this morning, I'm sensing that we are right outside of that, right? We are looking into the promised land. But here's the problem that I think we may be facing. When we look in, let's send a few people in. Let's see what it looks like. It looks challenging. It looks difficult. It does not look comfortable to us. There's some giants in there. There's some obstacles in there. And it doesn't look like it's going to be easy. And so we can be tempted as a church to step back to where we are and go, well, at least we're not there anymore. But we're here, so this is good enough. And everything inside of me wants to say to you today, we can't stay where we are. We can't get stuck just because we're healthy financially right now. We can't remain where we are because God's not finished in delivering us from where we are into where he would have us to be. He's not. He's not done with that yet. And so it would be so easy to say to you, let's just thank him. Let's just say thank you. And we should thank him. And let's just rest for a while. And there are times that we need to take respites. There are times that we need to celebrate. I am not good at this. I am not good at saying, look at all the great things that God has done. Let's celebrate. God has not wired me that way. I'm not using that as an excuse. I need to get better at that. I'm admitting that to you this morning. I've got people, our leadership team, that encourages me to get better at that. We need to celebrate more often. I concur. I agree. I'm always seeing what's next. It's just like, this is good. Let's not rest here. Let's move on. So what I'm saying to you right now, it is kind of the typical way that I see things. But I've spent a lot of time praying about this and considering whether or not, you know, God's moving in a different direction, wanting to do something new or different or whatever those things may be. And I think he does in order for us to arrive at where he wants us to be. But we haven't arrived there yet. We're not where I believe God would have us to go, right? So even though we've had some really, really great things happen, we're not where we need to be. And so it's not time to sit back and just kind of bask in the glory of God. Listen to the words that Moses shares with the children of God before they enter the promised land, right? This is after 40 years of wandering. Listen to what he says. Deuteronomy 6, verses 20 through 25. In the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders, great and terrible, on Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land that he promised on oath to our ancestors. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all of his law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. So God allowed his people to remain in slavery in Egypt for 400 years until it became time for them to exit Egypt, right? And in all of that time, they were slaves. They were in bondage to what the Egyptian rulers, what Pharaoh and the rest of his leaders said they had to do. Can I tell you this morning? When you are a slave for a long period of time, you think like a slave. You speak like a slave. You act like a slave because you're used to being in bondage, right? But you're not a slave any longer if you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. God's taking you from that kind of slavery, that kind of bondage, that kind of burden, that kind of worry. He's taking you out of that, and he's got you on a journey. And the journey that he has you headed toward is becoming more like Christ, believing in things in a greater way, believing that his promises are not only good, but he is faithful to provide what he says a Christian, a born-again believer will experience. Right. And as I look around the room and as I've looked around the room in each one of our services this morning, I'm seeing faces of like, I'm not so sure. Like, I'm not so sure. It hasn't happened yet. I get that. Right. If you'd ask me, Pastor Rick, where do you think you'd be 7.5 years later? I'd say, oh, we'd be at our second or third site right now. Right. We'd be busting at the seams. It'd be unbelievable. Now, let me say this to you. God has shown me that that's going to happen. That's going to happen. You write that down. You put it in your Bible. When it happens and you look back and go, that's right. Pastor Rick said God said that. It's going to happen. He wants to do it with a certain group of people who have faith and trust in the promises that they are willing to go and possess. Right. He's not like, well, who wants this? Show of hands. Well, we'll take it. Okay, well, here's a bunch of people. Go get them. Go get those people. Possess the promises that I've granted you in the way that I would have you to do this. Go get those people and bring them in here. Allow them to hear the word of God being taught and their lives being changed. And watch what I'll do if you're willing to partner with me in this. So this is my first point to you this morning. We are to pursue and possess God's promises. Wildwood, this is the year of growth. 2018, you and I have to partner together to possess the promises that God's granted us by bringing in the people that he wants to speak into their lives, the truth and the incredible good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ when they come here. That's his desire. I believe that to be true. What kept Israel from experiencing that? Doubt and disobedience. It looked hard. It looked challenging. It was uncomfortable when they looked into the promised land and they were like, well, you know what? I think we'll stay here. I doubt God wants us to do that. This is better than that, but it's not as good as where we could be. But I'm not willing to go get what God's promised us. And I don't want to be that church. I don't want to stop short and just relax and rest where we are. I want to complete the process and be part of the program that God has for his church, right? So this is our ultimate goal. We're to pursue and possess God's promises. Don't let this church or you be stuck between your past and your promise. Don't be there. Don't be that person. Let's not be that church. Let's go for the promise together. We are all hurting. We are all fallen, sinful, hurting people. And we've been hurt by the people who are closest to us, even within the church. All of us have. We've all been hurt by somebody who we didn't think would hurt us. And some of us lack a little bit of faith and a little bit of trust that God is at work within those individuals, making them to be more like Jesus Christ, changing them from the person who hurt us to the person who will now pursue the promises with us that God's leading us to pursue. We have to know and believe and speak words of victory that we have in Jesus Christ. I want to say this to you this morning because this is resounding in my spirit right now. We live in victory because we live with victory because we have been given the victory in Jesus Christ at Calvary, right? The fight has already been fought and one, right? So the real question is, what are you going to do with the information that you've been given? What are you going to do with the power that you've been given? What are you going to do with the promise that's been granted to you? Are you just going to rest and stay where you are? Are you going to advance the kingdom of God as the people of God should be, right? Don't be bitter. Be better. Don't let the challenges that you've faced steal from you the opportunities that lie ahead as God steers us towards the promises that he's given to us individually and collectively as a church. In fact, the Apostle Paul has a lot to say about that. Listen to some of these verses. Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is one of my favorite verses, this next one, 2 Corinthians 2:14. I've read this so many times, and it is so resonating in my spirit. It's like I've never read it before. Listen to what Paul says. But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere we go. I love that verse. I thought to myself, I must have read that many, many times. Hundreds of times. And right now, God's saying, this is for you right here, right now, Rick. This is what I want you to do. I want you to spread my aroma around, right? Where you go, I go. And where you go, they will sense I'm there. And their lives will be impacted and changed. Let's just go together. Let's do this together. Philippians 3:13-14. Everyone knows this, right? But one thing I do, Paul says, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The past, regardless of whether it's been glorious or terrible, the past is the past, right? This is the last day you're going to live in 2017, should you see it to the end till midnight tonight, right? This is it. 2018 is coming tomorrow. What will we do with it? What will we do with it as individual believers and passionate followers of Jesus Christ? And what will we do with it collectively as a church together, right? I want us to grow spiritually. I want us to think differently. I want us to speak differently. I want us to act differently from how we acted, thought, and spoke in 2017. Wildwood can lead a revolution of revival in Acworth, in Kennesaw, in Woodstock. Wherever you live, there can be revival. If you're willing to take Christ with you and get excited about not only who he is, but what he's promised in the places that you go to, according to the scripture that we just read, right? Satan can't stop you. He does not have that kind of authority or power. He will tempt you to believe that he can, but he can't. Satan can't stop you. The world can't stop you. They'll tell you that you're heading down the wrong path, that you're wasting your time, that you're buying into false lies and false hopes. They can't stop you. Right? Only you can stop you from being who Christ is calling you to be by stepping away from him and resting and remaining where you are, just shy of walking into his promised land, just shy of being where God would have us to be. Right? I love the story of the children of God so much that I was reading Old Testament stuff left and right in Exodus and Deuteronomy and Numbers, looking for comparisons. The first obstacle that I saw them face, I watched how they responded to it. And it's like, what's wrong with you? So they just saw the Red Sea get parted. And God took the Israelites through and he's like, just walk through. It's going to be dry land. Once the last one gets through, I'm going to cave in all over Pharaoh's army and it's going to be a complete slaughter and wipe out, but you're going to be safe, right? So they do that. So here's what they do in Exodus 15. They're singing his praises. We saw it happen. He got us through. This is great. Just one or two verses later and a few days later, right? They're facing a time where they hit their first hurdle and their first challenge. In fact, it's found in Exodus 15 verses 23 and 24. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. So the people grumbled against Moses saying, what are we going to drink? Now think about this for a second with me. They just saw God part the Red Sea and deliver them from Pharaoh towards the promised land.
and they don't have water to drink. And they're like, will God not give us something to drink? I'm saying to you this morning, the same God who's delivered us from where we've been as a church, Wildwood Baptist Church in the past, is moving us into the present. It's by his power. It's by his might. It's by his hand that he's going to advance us into the kingdom work that he would have us to do. Some of you can go along. Some of you can grumble and complain about what's not happening. God's going to take those who believe and move forward and pursue the promises into the promised land. The rest of y'all are going to sit waiting to see what you're hoping would happen, what you thought would happen, what you wanted to experience. You're not going to see it happen because you doubt the promises of God. You doubt that he can change the hearts of his people in such a way that we become the people that he's called us to be. Right? The thing that held them back was their lack of faith. And it's not unusual for us to look at, you know, the faith of a mustard seed. When it says, move mountain, mountains move, right? Do you recognize the fact that mustard seeds do not remain the same? They get planted and they grow. A mustard seed is teeny tiny. A mustard seed plant can grow to be as high as 20 feet tall and 20 feet wide. You take a leaf off of that mustard seed plant and eat it, you're going to be lit on fire because it's full of mustard, right? A mustard seed grows to become a mustard seed plant, and it tastes like mustard. It smells like mustard. It is a mustard. It is what we know as mustard today. So here's the point. If Christ is in you and you're pursuing the things that he would have you to become, you can't stay the same. You have to continue to grow. And when people see you, when they're around you, when they hear you, they hear the Christ that speaks from within you. They are introduced to the Christ that you not only believe in, but who is growing you to become this incredible vessel of light and hope and really believing in the promises that he has for us, so that people who see us go, I want some of that. I want to experience that myself. And that's kind of the point of all of this. Typically, we will become more like whatever we believe. We will become more like Christ if we really believe in him, or we will become more like whatever else we choose to believe in. And the process of becoming more like Christ continues to be the plan that God has for our life. When Jesus struggled with his people not being the people that he would have them to be, do you know what words he spoke? He said this, O ye of little faith, right? He said that because it was never his plan for us to have little faith. It was always his plan for you and I to have great faith, growing faith, abundant faith, because his plan for us is to experience abundant life. So the people of God, all they're doing is they're murmuring and they're grumbling and they're complaining. In fact, Moses talks about this in Deuteronomy 1, verses 26 through 28. He says, but you were unwilling to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You grumbled in your tents and said, the Lord hates us. So he brought us out of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go? Our brothers have made our hearts melt in fear. They say, the people are stronger and taller than we are. You're talking about the spies here. The cities are large. The walls, with walls up to the sky. We even saw the Anakites there, right? The Anakites are in there. They're killers. They're huge. They're well-trained killers. Yeah, we can't go fight them, right? We can't. We can't. We can't. You can. Wow, would you can. You can be exactly who Christ has called you to be, but you can't sit back and rest on our laurels or what we've come out of. We've got to pursue his promises. Typically, when someone is struggling with faith, they will spread that to others, right? And they'll do it with good intentions. They will say things like, don't get people's hopes up. It'll just create a bigger letdown, right? God hasn't moved in that way yet. Why would you think he's going to move? That's just not who we're going to be. So recently, I had a couple of well-meaning people, and I mean this sincerely. I believe they were well-meaning. But they came to me and they said, Pastor Rick, you cannot ask our people to give $30,000 to a school in Kenya, having just asked them for $30,000 for Feed My Starving Children. We're not that church yet. You can't do that. We'd never collected that kind of money. And I prayed about it, and I asked the Lord, God, is this what you want? And just as sure as I'm standing on this stage, I knew that's what the Lord wanted. So someone came to me and they said, how will that look on you if you say God said to do it and we don't do it? And I said this to them. I said, no, how will that look on you? Because I'm going to do it because God said to do it. Now the question is, will you do it because God's telling you to participate? Well, you all know this. In retrospect, we gained more than $30,000, right? We gave that school more than $30,000. Is that not? And the Annie Armstrong collection as well benefited from that. Was that Lottie Moon? Whichever one it was, we gave to them as well during that time, right? We gave above and beyond. So I had someone a couple weeks ago, I believe with good intentions, they said, you can't have three candlelight services and a Sunday morning service. Our church isn't like that. It's not going to respond well to that. And I'm like, we planned this. This is what we believe God's going to use to further his kingdom and for people to come. And they're like, well, it's too much. You're not going to have people. You can't get enough help and you're not going to succeed. And how will that look if you say this is what we're supposed to do and we do it? Well, let me tell you something. 1,100 people later, every service was well attended. We weren't packed out to the gills, but we had a lot more people because we had those services than we ever would have had we not had those services. Was it easy? Absolutely not. Was it comfortable? No. Are people in this room exhausted from last week? Absolutely they are. But God's word went forth. There was one of the services that Pastor Steve leaned over to me and he said, do you know anybody that's here? I don't recognize any of the faces that are here. I don't know them, right? Our community came to those services because Wildwood Baptist Church is planted on a busy road in a bustling community where people go, well, you go to church on Christmas, we're going to go to our local community church. And they came. Some of you may be back because you came last week. And if you are, praise God. It's not about comfort. It's not about rest and relaxation. It's about pursuing the things of God for his promises to be seen and observed in our lives so that that will promote them to believing in the Christ that we serve together passionately as we serve him, right? That's the plan that we have and that we're seeing be fulfilled here in this place. Don't get bitter. Don't get angry. In fact, I want to say this to you this morning, and I hope you're not offended by this, but if you are, so be it. let me use, because some of you prefer the King James Version, right? So let me use the King James. If you're not going to share encouraging things that line up with the Word of God when you share them, then I'm going to say this in the King James vernacular. Shutteth uppeth. I don't need to hear it, right? I understand my job's on the line. I get that, right? I understand the future of the church is on the line. I understand all those things. I'm open to input. Make it positive. Tell me that God has said this to you and that you've sought him on your knees like I'm on my knees praying and fasting and asking him for direction. And listen, you know, to those of you, I see members of my leadership team here, you better be telling me what God's telling you. I need to hear from you. I absolutely need that. I desire that. I need that accountability in my life. But if you're going to be Debbie Downer all the time telling me all the things that are never going to happen because they haven't happened yet, I don't need to hear it any longer. I don't need to hear the doubt. In fact, the Bible says you shouldn't be speaking that way. Listen to what James tells us in James 1:6. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Right? Jesus says in Mark 11:23, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Right? There is no room for doubt any longer in his church. In fact, there is no room for doubt if we're going to follow the Lord by faith. Just don't doubt. Believe. Trust. Pursue the things that God would have us to pursue. We need to be a group of people who believe more and doubt less, not the reverse. Being an unbelieving believer is crazy. Right? It doesn't even make sense. It's hypocritical. We need to have faith to believe that all God's promises are yes and amen. And we need to know who we're praying to, right? We're praying to a God, according to Ephesians 3:20, who says, who is able to do immeasurably above all that we would ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us. Right? That's what we need to believe in and believe for. We're standing at the door of the promised land, and we're looking in and we're saying, yeah, but it looks challenging. It looks difficult. This is a little bit easier. It might be easier, but it's not better. We need to go where God's leading us to go. And so here's what I want you to believe. I want you to believe that he is transforming the people of Wildwood. He's transforming me. He's transforming our leadership teams. He's transforming our finance team. He's transforming our personnel teams. He's transforming our staff. We're becoming more like Christ on a day-by-day basis. And we're learning to pursue the things that he is leading us to pursue more and more on a day-by-day basis. And I want to share with you what I believe the promises for his church are according to Scripture. Because right after Peter tells Jesus, hey, you want to know who I think you are? Fine, I'll tell you. You are the Christ. You are the Son of God. Well, Jesus is pleased with that response. And he says, you know what? Based upon what you just said, Matthew 16:18, I tell you that you are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church. Not the rock of Peter, the rock of Christ, the cornerstone of Christ. On this rock, on the foundation of Christ, I will build my church. And even Hades will not defeat it. Satan cannot defeat what he has planned in his church, provided we continue to follow Christ. So when we share, nothing will stop God from building his church. Right? When we share the truth, when we teach the word of God, which we try to do every time that we're together, and then we call the church to act upon those things, right? Well, Isaiah 55:11 says it will not return to me empty. It will accomplish what God desires and achieve the purpose that God sent it, right? The word of God will not return void when it is shared, right? There will always be obstacles. Listen, there will always be attacks. There will always be setbacks. We'll move a couple steps forward. We'll move a few steps back. But Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication. I love that word, vindication. It means clearing one's name. It means proving someone's right, right? From me, declares the Lord. Christ is right about his church, and he will do what he says he will do. Nothing can stop God's servants from successfully reaching the lost. Nothing. Nothing but us if we don't do it, right? God will finish what he promises he will do in his church. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus, which means there is still so much work to be done in this area. Right, we are still in the process of leading people to become believers and passionate followers of Jesus Christ. But we can't sit back and be satisfied about where we are right now. We'll get stuck and we'll miss everything that God has for us. So I declare this over you now, Wildwood, this morning. You ready for this? You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. Do you not love this? This is who you're called to be. You are God's special possession. For what? That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You can't remain in darkness and be in light. We studied that throughout the month of December. Both don't exist. You're either in light or you're in darkness. And if you're in light, be light. If you're in the light of Christ. Freedom and victory come with believing and receiving what God wants you to have. And Jesus says that he came that you may have life and have it to the full. Well, then, Pastor Rick, tell me this. Why then do I not hear God? You talk about hearing God, but why do I not hear God? Let me take you back to your school days. Some of you high schoolers will appreciate this because you're in this right now, but others, you may have forgotten this. You remember the time that, like, all the preparation, all the teaching, all the study was for the test, right? For the big test. And so everyone's talking and you're having to do a lot in preparation for the test. But when the test gets handed out, what happens? Everybody gets quiet. Right? Teacher no longer teaches. Right? Students are no longer able to share information with one another. Why? It's test time. Some of you are in a test right now, and God is waiting to see, what are you going to say based upon what I've taught you? What are you going to think based upon what I taught you? What are you going to do based upon what I've taught you? I'm not moving any further and saying anything more until you pass the test. And once you get through this test, then we'll move forward and advance it. That's why I say I think we're right there. We all know somebody who needs Jesus. And if you don't, we need to go find that person. And then we need to share Jesus with them. And when you understand that you're in a test and that we're in a test, and I believe that we are, then one of the reasons that we get stuck is because we fail to acknowledge the fact that we haven't finished what God started in order to move forward. Sometimes we have to be willing to fight for what God says we are to have. We look at this Red Sea parting, and I think the Israelites struggle with this. They saw it and they went, well, that's how God works. He just does all the work for us. He parts the Red Sea. And yet they fail to recognize that God said, I want you to go in there. By the way, there are armies in there and there are fortified cities in there. And by the way, there are 31 kings that you have to fight and beat in order for you to achieve the victory that I have for you. But you'll do it. You just have to go and fight. Right? God does not allow every situation to be something that he says, sit back and watch me work. Every once in a while, we have to be willing to fight for God, for what God says we are to have and possess. And I think this is one of those things. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things of God has prepared for those who love him. Do you love him today? Is he your everything? Is he the single most important person in your life? Because if he is, then let's pursue the things that mean the most to him together as a church. And don't look at anything and say, it's not happening. Look at everything and say, all things are possible through Christ who gives me strength, right? You have to trust God for the promises that look to be impossible. This may be one of them. I'm going to invite Pastor Steve out on stage. And as he comes along with some members of the praise team, let me ask you, or let me answer any questions that you may have about 2018 by saying this. What are we going to do in 2018 as Wildwood Baptist Church? We're going to lead lots of people to become believers. You and I together. I cannot do that alone. I can. It just won't be anywhere near the amount of people that God wants to use all of us together to reach. So we're going to lead a lot of people to Jesus Christ. How are we going to do that? By becoming passionate followers of Jesus Christ ourselves. Each one of us are going to pursue God's plans and promises by sharing the gospel with people in 2018. And if you're not ready for that, just invite them to our church and I'll share it with them. Or Pastor Steve will share it with them. Or Pastor Terry or Pastor David or Sharon will share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our Life University teachers, our Fusion leaders will share Jesus with them. Just invite them and bring them in here. Do something with me real quick. You do this. Are you comfortable with this? Close your eyes with me. Close your eyes. What will it look like next year, the day before 2019? What will we look like? Just picture this now. What do you see? Here's what I see. I see people who are passionately praising and worshiping Jesus Christ. There are some tears because they're recognizing the work of Christ in their hearts and in their lives. There are some smiles because they're recognizing Christ in their hearts and in their lives. There's hope because they came in struggling and hurting, desperately needing the love of Jesus Christ in their lives, and they found it. But here's the best part of all that. Do you know why they came? They came because you invited them. They're your neighbors. They're your friends. They're the people that are around you. They're the people that God's going to lead you to this next year. He's going to quicken your spirit. He's going to say, invite them to your church. Share Jesus with them. Be the passionate follower that I'm calling you to be right here, right now. It's not going to be easy. It won't be comfortable. There will be rejection that's involved. Trust me. Believe in my promises. Okay, you can open your eyes. In order for us to get there, we got to do some business with the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you this. Are you that vessel of light? Are you that vessel of light? That vessel of hope? Are you that vessel of truth? Are you that vessel of promise? Maybe not yet, but you can leave that way. If you'll stand with me now, I'm going to open this altar to you. I'm going to invite our deacons to come down on the side. I'm going to stand here in the middle. Hey, let's get changed while we're here. Let's not go home and change out of our Sunday go-to-meeting clothes only, right? Let's get changed right here. Let's get transformed by the power of Christ. Don't rush this away. Your lunch isn't going to be any greater than what God wants to do inside of your spirit, inside of your soul, inside of your mind right now. If you let Him work, let's let God do His work right here, right now, so that we can become changed. Otherwise, can I just tell you something? 2018 is not going to look the way that we just described. We've got to grow to become the people that God's calling us to be. And that can happen to you right now. This altar is open. I'm available. Our deacons are available.